Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Family Talk, the radio broadcast division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm your host, Dr. James Dobson. In a moment, you're going to hear the second part of a message that we began yesterday about the call for men to be godly husbands.
We need some men in this nation who are men who will follow through with their commitments. We need to see a revival in this nation. He's looking for some guys to follow through and to finish strong for him and their marriages.
That was the voice of Dr. Steve Farrar. He's founder and chairman of Men's Leadership Ministries. And what you're going to hear today was actually recorded some years ago, but it is still very, very relevant to today. It was recorded in Charlotte, North Carolina at a Promise Keepers event where 50,000 men were in attendance. Steve has a deep passion for instructing and teaching men how to be better husbands and fathers for their families. He has authored numerous books and produced a video Bible study series geared especially for men. Now, today, Dr. Farrar will walk us through what it means to be a godly leader as a husband and father. He also explains how husbands can say no to temptation and remain a one-woman man. As I said yesterday, marriage is under savage attack in the culture today, especially from what might be referred to as left-wing politics. And that's why we must preserve and defend marriage from those who would like to see it destroyed. As we begin part two of this message, we're going to roll back a ways and let our listeners hear part of yesterday's program so you can fully understand the context for this broadcast. Let's listen now to the rest of a powerful speech by Dr. Steve Farrar here on Family Talk.
I have the privilege every year of speaking to three or four NFL teams. Every NFL team, 5 hours before kickoff, has a chapel service. Last year in the fall, I was up in Wisconsin, so I did a chapel service for the Packers. And I was at Lambeau Field, and you know, it's a great old stadium. But across the street, the Packers have built a beautiful multi-million dollar facility, indoor fields, AstroTurf, it's state of the art. One of the things you'll find there is that they have some small theaters. People that don't know a lot about football have a misconception. They think football coaches and football players spend the majority of their time outside. Football players and coaches spend the majority of their time inside in the dark. Why? They're watching film. One of those coaches will be in that film room at 1 a.m. watching that film for the sixth time, and all of a sudden he'll say, "Hey, look at number 66. Look at that guard. Every time he runs that sweep, he sets his stance. Look at his left foot. He sets up 6 inches back with his left foot. Run it again." He doesn't do that on the other. See, and so he tells his linebacker, "You key off 66. Watch his left foot. When he sets his left foot back, that's your tip. He's going to run that sweep." Why do they watch so much film? I'm going to tell you why, guys. They want to know their opponent, and they want to know his habits. They want to know his tendencies. They want to know his weaknesses. Let me tell you guys something. Satan watches your game films, and he watches mine, and he knows my habits. He knows my tendencies. He knows my weaknesses. He knows that when I get tired, I get irritable. He knows that I can be impatient. He knows that it's very easy for me just to fly and say a harsh word without thinking to my wife. I did that earlier this week. Every time before I come to speak on one of these things about marriage, I screw up. I do. I'm just being honest with you. And let me say something about that. Gentlemen, the easiest thing in the world is to stand up here and teach this stuff. The hardest thing in the world is to go home and live it out. But that's what we're called to do. The guys standing up here speaking, we're just guys. We deal with things like you deal with things. That's why the focus here is not on any individual except the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the perfect one. He's the one we focus on here at Promise Keepers. is it that guys who start strong, how is it that they don't finish strong? It's because the enemy gets them off in their marriages. Hey, you know what? I want to hit the finish line married to the same woman that I'm married to today. And you do too. And again, you may say, Steve, I've already been picked off. I've already been through a divorce. I've been through two divorces. I've been through three divorces, and I'm on marriage number four. Well, then let me say this to you, my friend. By the power of the living spirit of Jesus Christ within you, you make this marriage work. You implement the principles. Let's finish strong with our commitments where we are right today. We can't go back to the past. All we can do is go forward. In 1519, Hernando Cortez undertook a tremendous responsibility. Loaded 11 ships, hundreds of men, and went to Mexico. He didn't know what was awaiting him, but he felt like there was treasure. He felt like there was some conquest possibilities. They landed in Veracruz, and then the men unloaded their stuff, and as they were going up the cliffs and making their way, and they didn't know if they were going to live, they didn't know if they were going to be attacked, they didn't know if there were going to be diseases, but as they're going up that mountainside, as they got to this, one of the guys yelled, and suddenly they looked back down in the bay, hundreds and hundreds of feet down, where they saw their 11 ships, and their 11 ships were all going up in flames. All 11 ships were burning, and there was not a thing they could do. What happened? How did the ships catch fire? Cortez set the ships on fire because what he did, he cut off, he burned the escape route. He made sure those guys were committed. They had to finish because there was no escape. Gentlemen, we need to burn our ships. Divorce isn't even in our vocabulary. It doesn't even exist. I think one of the ways that we burn our ships is to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And in that passage, Paul is talking to young Timothy. And he's talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 about Timothy had to find some leaders for this church. And Paul gave him some qualifications. And he said, Timothy, don't look for guys on the basis of their education. Don't look for guys on the basis of their net worth. But he gave Timothy a bunch of character qualifications. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, Paul says, an elder or an overseer or a spiritual leader must be above reproach. What that means is, gentlemen, is that ministry is a character profession. Again, I think it was Swindoll that said this a couple years ago. He said, you know, you can be a good CPA and sleep around and still be a good CPA. But you can't be a good usher and sleep around. You can't be a good Sunday school teacher and sleep around. You can't be in any kind of ministry and sleep around, because ministry is a character profession. The next thing he says is that a spiritual leader must be the husband of one wife. What's interesting to me, and different denominations have different interpretations of that, whether or not a man with a divorce in his background can be in leadership, that's not my issue this morning. My issue is this. When it says that he must be the husband of one wife, in the Greek, gentlemen, in the original language, it literally reads this. He must be a one-woman kind of man. That is so pregnant with meaning for all of us, that we are called. You say, well, Steve, I don't want to be a deacon in my church. I don't want to be an elder. That's fine, but if you're married to a woman that you love and you love Jesus Christ, you need to be a one woman kind of man. And I think, guys, there are five ways that we do that. There are five things that I work on every day of my life to be a one woman kind of man. Let me give these to you. This is called application. Number one, I'm to be a one woman kind of man with my mind, with my thought life. Oscar Wilde once said, I can resist anything except temptation. Well, Oscar had a problem. But you know what the Apostle Paul said? Paul said, we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You see, gentlemen, when temptation comes, it comes in the thought life. When temptation comes, the enemy fires those darts. He tries to get us thinking along the wrong path. Some of you guys do some traveling as I do. Let's say I go to Spokane, Washington. Nobody knows me in Spokane. I get in, check into the hotel late. Get up the next morning, go down to the coffee shop. On my way to the coffee shop, I stop to get a paper, but that newsstand, the newspaper, is surrounded by pornographic literature. Or I go back to my room and there's a television set. On that television set is a card advertising pay movies. At least 3, 4, 5 are pornographic. Who would know if I were to grab that pornographic magazine? Who would know if I were to hit the wrong channel and watch that? Let me ask you something. How do you know last night that I wasn't in my room watching pornography because I'm telling you it was available? Well, you don't know. I want to tell you guys something. God knows, but my wife doesn't know, my kids don't. Now, my son Josh knows because he was with me. But when I'm by myself, nobody knows. Gentlemen, here's the principle. Reputation is what people think you are. Character is what you are when no one else is around. We need to be men of godly character. Some of you guys are struggling with pornography. Maybe it's because you started out when you were a young boy, junior high school. And over the years, you've thought, you know, Lord, I want you to take this away from me. I'll never look at it again. And it keeps coming up and it keeps coming up. Let me say a word to you young guys that are here. Let me say a word to those of you guys that are 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Let me say this. Don't even start. If you're my son John recently had some guys and they had some pornography. They called him over and said, hey, John, come here and look at this. John realized what it was. And he looked at those guys and he said, you know, you guys don't need that. And he walked away. And I said, John, way to hum, man. Way to go. But you see, when John was just a little guy, when John was 7 years old, I had a discussion with him. And I said, hey, John, have you ever been real thirsty? He said, oh, yeah, Dad, I've been real thirsty. Have you ever been really thirsty? He said, yeah. I said, can you imagine being on a desert, out on a desert, and just dying of thirst? John, let me ask you something. Could you ever be so thirsty that you'd find an old abandoned gas station and the only water that was there was water in an old corroded toilet, and you'd drink that water? He said, Dad, that's gross. I said, I know it's gross. I said, John, let me tell you something, man. Pornography is toilet water. Pornography is sewer water, and you want to keep your mind crystal clear, like crystal clear water. You young guys don't ever want to touch that stuff. Some of you guys are struggling with that. Let me say this to you. Let me say this to you guys. If you're struggling with pornography, let me just bottom line this thing. And the thing about it is pornography is insatiable. The more you get, the more you want. You can never get your fill. If you're struggling with pornography, can I bottom line this for you? If you want to get over that, if you want to deal with that, James says this, and this is not comfortable. This is what the Word of God says. James says, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. If you need a buddy in your life that you can trust that will not tell anyone this in total confidence, it may be your pastor, it may be a friend, but you need to shoot straight with a buddy, tell him your problem. You need to make yourself accountable. You guys lock arms, and I'm going to tell you something. The two are stronger than one, and by the power of God, you'll defeat the enemy in that habitual sin in your life. C.S. Lewis once said, if you look upon ham and eggs and lust, you've already committed breakfast in your heart. I love that because that really brings me to the second point. Number two, I'm to be a one-woman kind of man with my eyes. With my eyes. Any of you guys remember a group from the 50s called the Flamingos? They sang a song. They only had one hit, I believe. The song was, I Only Have Eyes for You. Great song. Shabab, shabab. Ooh. Shabab, shabab. Why don't we stand and sing that together? We'll sing the first and the fourth verse. No, I'm just kidding. I've always wanted to say that. Hey, you know what? It's a great song because here's what the guy says in the song. He says, are the stars out tonight? I can't tell if it's cloudy or bright because I only have eyes for you. And then he goes on and says this, my love is a special kind of blind love. I can't see anyone else but you. Shabab, shabab. Gentlemen, that ought to be the theme song of every Christian husband in this stadium. I only have eyes for you. Job said this in the Old Testament. Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes that I will not gaze upon a young woman in lust. Let me ask you something, my friend. Have you made that covenant? You say, Steve, that's tough. I know it's tough. Hey, we'll be driving in your car and some gal will be walking down the street wearing something she shouldn't be wearing. Well, you know what our natural reaction is? You know what our natural tendency is? Our natural tendency is to look and then to dwell and to continue to look. But listen, I need to be a one-woman kind of man with my mind and with my eyes. What I've got to do is what Paul told Timothy. He said, Timothy, discipline yourself for godliness. I've got to get control of my eyes, gentlemen, so that when I see that gal, I've got to get on the offensive. I've got to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And what I have to do is go against my natural instinct. When President Reagan was shot, you've seen the videotape, as I have hundreds of times. He was coming out of the Hilton in D.C. Shots rang out. When shots ring out, what's the natural reaction? You hit the deck. Everybody did that except two Secret Service agents. The agent behind Mr. Reagan put him down in the limo. You remember that other agent standing off to the side, the earpiece? He's standing there. They played it in slow motion. The shots ring out. He closes his eyes in response, but then he went against his natural reaction, and instead of hitting the deck, he turned towards the shot, takes a shot. My question is, why did that Secret Service agent go against his natural instinct? Because he had disciplined himself and trained himself. We must do the same thing in the spiritual arena, so that when you see that gal wearing something she shouldn't be wearing, by the power of Christ within you, you do what doesn't come naturally. By the power of Christ, you steel yourself and you look away. You look away, you look the other way, because you're a man of God. This is important stuff, guys. Not too long ago, my subscription to Sports Illustrated had run out. And they were offering this Michael Jordan, Larry Bird video. And it was football season. I needed to get SI, so I called up the 800 number and I said, yeah, I want to order all this. And the lady had her spiel and she said, yes, Mr. Farrar, for the price of this, we'll send you 32 weeks. We'll send you the video. We'll send you the T-shirt. We'll send you the swimsuit edition. And I said, excuse me, ma'am. She said, yes. I said, don't send me the swimsuit edition. She said, what? I said, don't send me the swimsuit edition, please. She said, well, sir, I'm not sure we can do that. I said, have you got a computer there? She said, yeah. Do you have a delete key? Yeah. I said, you can do it. She said, well, this is highly irregular. I said, I'm sure it is. But I don't want the swimsuit edition. Please don't send it to me. Guess what? They sent it to me. And the mail was on the kitchen counter. And as I came home, the mail was there, and on the top was the Sports Illustrated with some gal in a swimsuit. You know what was interesting? My daughter, Rachel, came up to me, and she, with a concerned look on her face, and she said, Daddy, you're not going to look at that, are you? I said, sweetheart, I'm not going to look at it. And you know what, Rachel? I asked him not to send it to me. You know what, guys? Our daughters need to have daddies that will show them the priority of sexual purity in their lives. Your daughters need to know that you're a one-woman kind of man. And your boys need to know you're a one-woman kind of man. You know, gentlemen, there are little eyes that are watching us every day of our lives, aren't they? And you know, your boys see if you look. Let me tell you something. We need boys in America who have dads that don't look. We need boys in America who have dads that they know in their heart their dad is thoroughly and totally committed to their mother. If you want your boys and you want your daughters to grow up and have godly marriages, then you show them what a godly marriage looks like. That's our job, gentlemen. We're the point men. We're the leaders. Number three, I'm to be a one-woman kind of man with my lips. With my lips. What that means is simply this. I'm careful what I say to other women. You're a man of God. You're a promise keeper. So let me tell you what that means. You don't make sexual innuendos. You're not a flirt at the office. You don't tell jokes that you shouldn't be telling. You ever heard a guy say, well, you know, I shouldn't tell this story? Well, then don't. If you shouldn't tell it, then don't tell it. Gentlemen, we need to be pure and clean with our speech. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Number four, I'm to be a one-woman kind of man with my hands. With my hands. What that means is simply this. This is very, very easy. I'm careful how I touch other women. When I was in seminary, there was a deacon in our church who was also a greeter at the front door. And every time a woman, a good-looking woman under 35, would walk in, he would become anointed. But he wasn't anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. He was anointed by a wrong spirit. And he would hug these women. What he would do is maul them and embarrass his wife. And quite frankly, several years later, when he ran off with another woman, I wasn't surprised, because he never was a one-woman kind of man with his hands. Gentlemen, we ought to be so clean with our lips, with our hands, that if the charge of sexual harassment were ever leveled against us, our coworkers would fall to the ground in hysterical laughter. They'd say, not that guy. He's so clean. That guy's a one-woman kind of man. That's what we need to be, guys. Here's the last one. I'm to be a one-woman kind of man with my feet. With my feet. Because somewhere I read, flee immorality. Have you read that? Yeah, flee immorality. Well, how do you flee? You use your feet. I was talking with a young guy in Dallas not too long ago. He had a new job. He was about 30. Went to Atlanta with his boss on a business trip just for the day. His boss was about 50. They were with a client who was about 50. He'd just been on this job a week or two. After a full day, the client said, you guys have been so great. I want to take you to dinner. Let me take you to my favorite place. They said, great. They get in this car. They pull up in front of this high-class gentleman's club, a topless bar. They get out, and the guy realizes what's going on. He says to his boss, he says, you know, I think I'll just go back to the hotel. His boss says, oh, no, no, hey, come on, we'll have a good time. He says, no, I just think I'll go back to the hotel. His boss looks him in the eye and says, it's very important that you be with us tonight on this meeting. This young guy looked at his boss, and he said, sir, I can't go in there, because if I go in there, I'm going to violate the vow that I made to my wife on my wedding day, and I can't do it. I'm going back to the hotel. A lot of guys wouldn't do that. They'd say, a lot of guys would say, you know what? He might fire me. Well, let him fire you. The Lord Jesus will get you a job, my friend, because you're a one-woman kind of man. Hey, guys, we're going to face situations. We're going to face situations where we're going to have to flee immorality this week. And you say, well, Steve, what should I do? And this, hey, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. And I'm going to tell you guys something. The Lord Jesus Christ will bless your life beyond belief. You say, Steve, how do I know he'll bless me? Let me tell you why. Because the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro about the earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully his, that he may strongly support them. Gentlemen, let's be those men to the glory of our great God.
I'm Roger Marsh, and you have been listening to Dr. Steve Farrar here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I pray that you found encouragement to prioritize godliness in all of your relationships after hearing what you heard today. Visit our broadcast page and discover more about Dr. Farrar's ministry or all of his popular books. You can find that information at drjamesdobson.org and then click onto today's broadcast page. Did you know that the James Dobson Family Institute is completely supported by listeners just like you? The only way we are able to bring you new and classic broadcasts is through your financial contributions. You can learn how to partner with us by going to drjamesdobson.org or by calling 877-732-6825. Online, drjamesdobson.org. On the phone, 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for helping us fight for and preserving the institution of the family. Also, when you contact our offices, make sure you remember that you can choose to leave a comment on our listener feedback line. We greatly appreciate hearing how these programs are impacting you and your family. Again, simply call 877-732-6825 and select the listener feedback line option. We look forward to hearing from you. Well, that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for an exclusive presentation from Dr. Dobson himself. He'll be reading his February newsletter, which focuses on the sanctity of a godly marriage. You will not want to miss what he has to say. That's coming up next time right here on Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, this is Roger Marsh for Family Talk. With Valentine's Day this week, we want to know, how romantic are you? Go now to drjamesdobson.org and take our romance quiz. Now, this is a fun activity. It's going to show you just how much you adore your spouse. After you're finished, we will email you a copy of Dr. Dobson's 5 romance tips as well. So hurry over to drjamesdobson.org and take our Valentine's Day quiz and recapture the romance in your relationship.